Today's share of the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Kedushin, Daf Samach Dalet. We begin on the second line from the top of Samach Dalet Amud Aleph with the new Mishnah. We are learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Harvey Schneier, Chaim Ben Abba. Harvey was a member of the Shia many years ago before he was Nifter, and he certainly missed very much. Herbert Coulter, Tzvi Hirsch Ben Yehoshua Cohen. We're also learning Le'ilui Nishmas Harab Moshe David Tendler, Zatzal. Rabbi Tendler was a Rebbe to many in Klal Yisrael. He was a great individual in medical ethics and in Torah, and we learn Le'ilui Nishmas Harav Moshe David Ben Harav Yitzchok Isaac. All the Neshamas we learn for should have an Aliyah from all learning. Okay, we pick up second line from the top, Samach Dalet Amud Aleph, from the new Mishnah. The man says, Kidashti SBT, I was accepting Kiddushin on behalf of my daughter, Kidashtiya, or he said, Kidashtiya, I accepted Kedushin on behalf of my daughter, Vigerashtiya, and I also accepted Gerishin on her behalf from her husband, and all of this occurred, Kishiktana, while she was Ektana, when the father has the ability to both be Makadish's daughter, as well as to accept Gerishin on behalf of his daughter. If, in fact, she is still Ektana, Barehi Ektana, right now, when he makes these statements, so Namon, she is considered to be have been married and divorced in the respective cases. The father is believed in this situation, and Rashi points out, Lepos Lemenakud, to say that she's a grusha means that she can no longer marry a kohen. And the reason he is believed in this situation is because he has the ability to, in fact, go and marry her off right now, she's still a ktana, or accept gerishin on her behalf if she is married, and therefore he is believed when he says so. That's the understanding of the ratio here of the Mishnah. In the second case, however, if he says, Kidashtiya v'gerashtiya kishitana, yes, I married her off and or I accepted her gerishin when she was a ktana. However, right now she's a gdola, barehi gdola right now, so then, eino nemon, he is not believed, and in fact she still is able to go and marry a kohen in this situation. She's not psula l'kahuna, because since he cannot do this right now, since she's a gdola, he doesn't have nemonis to go and aser someone else, even though it's his daughter. And finally, the third part of the Mishnah says, Nishbase, if the father claims that his daughter was captured, however, Upadisiya, and he redeemed her, and we know that we have to be Choshesh, Rachmona Litzlan, the woman is captured, that she was in fact abused and assaulted by her captors, and therefore she is considered Psula L'Kahuna. So if the father states that his daughter was captured and redeemed, Bain Shiktana, whether she is a Ktana at the time or now, Bain Shigdola, whether she was a Gdola then or Gizdola now, doesn't make any difference. In this situation, Ein Onemon, he is not believed in his statement. If we don't have any independent corroborative evidence of this, so then the girl is still Muteris L'Kahuna. Okay, we'll explain all parts of the Mishnah as we go now through the Gemara. So the first obvious question is, Maishno Reishno, Maishno Sefer. Why in the first situation do we say the father is Nemon when she's still a Ketana, and the second and third situations when she is not believed when she is a Gdola, or regarding the din of Nishbeis Upadisiya, that the father is not believed. Why is that so? So the Gemara answers what I've already alluded to. Reisha Biyodei. Since in the Reisha, she's still a Ketana, so it's within the father's power. He has the ability to go and marry her off right now. As Rashi points out, in Reisha Biyodei, Bodeno Ketana, while she's still a Ketana, Biyodei Lekach Liyacher. He can go and marry her off right now. So therefore, he's believed when he said, I did marry her off. And likewise, the Lachsu Lekabel Get, hey man, if this person then were to go and divorce her, who he marries her to, so he can accept the get on her behalf. Therefore, Hilkach Neman. Therefore, he's believed, because the Ma Lo L'Shaker, why would he be lying to us? Ibai Pasule, if he isn't telling us the truth, well, he has the ability to do this right now anyway, so why would he lie? He, therefore, has an emonis about him, since he could do it right now, so why would we not believe that he had already done it while she's still a Ketana? As opposed to, Sefer, in the second and third cases, La Biyodei, he doesn't have the ability to marry her off if she's a Gdola, he doesn't have the ability to go and put her in captivity, so therefore, it's not Biyodei, he doesn't have the ability to do so, therefore, he doesn't have an emonis to go and hurt someone else. Gorg questions this, is really below, Bahari Biyodo, Lasir L'Cholol, wait a second, if he wanted to, when she's a Ketana, he could marry her off to a Cholo, to a person who is not permitted to marry into the Kahuna. If they're a man, they lose their status of being a Kohen, like their father was a Kohen, but he married a Grusha, and they're the product of that, so he's a Cholo. He's not a Kohen in terms of all the dinim of Kahuna. And if it's a girl that's born from this relationship, she's psula l'kahuna as a halala. So therefore, since the father could marry her off to somebody who's psula l'kahuna, so then why don't we believe him when he says that nishbeis ubedisiyah? He's passling her l'kahuna in that situation, but biyado, it's within his power to go and marry her to a halal. The call poslo mikahuna, which would also make her psula l'kahuna. So why don't we believe him when he says nishbeis ubedisiyah? He does have the ability to do so. Gemara says, no, that's not really a kasha, halo kasha, because this goes in accord with the opinion of Kirebi Dostoy ben Yehuda. This is in accord with the opinion of the Tana in the Mishnah that we'll learn in Mirtz Hashem on Daf Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. As Rashi points out, that this Tana, Rebbe Dostoy ben Yehuda, the Omer, he says over there, Benos Yisrael, Mikveh Tahara Lechalolim. As Rashi points out, the women of Klai Yisrael can be used to cleanse, so to say, the psul of Chalolim, according to Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda. As Rashi continues and he says, Benos Yisrael, Mikveh Tahara Lechalolim, the Bas Chalol Zohar. If you have a daughter of a man who is a Chalol, so he was the product, the man was the product of a Kohen and a Grusha, so therefore he's a Cholo, so he is a male Cholo. K'sheira l'kuhuna, the daughter, the boss of this is K'sheira l'kuhuna, she'ishto tara ezaro, that this Cholo, when he marries a kosher woman, so then their child, according to Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda, is in fact kosher lakuna, to keep him the bito ksheira, and since the rule is if the daughter is permissible to marry a kohen, so then almenoso ksheira as well. So then the wife of this cholol, if the cholol were to die, so she's also permitted. She's an almana, and she's also permitted to marry the kuna. The kol she'atanose bito, the rule according to Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda is if you can marry the daughter, atanose almenoso, then you can marry her mother when she becomes a widow. If the daughter could marry a kohen, so too this widowed mother could go and marry a kohen. Hilchach ein biado livsol bito kitana minaktuna. So according to Rabbi Dostoy, so even though he could marry her off to a cholol, that wouldn't ruin the daughter, because the daughter's daughter would be permissible to a kohen, because the bnos Yisrael are mikvatar lechalolin, so therefore the almana of this cholol would be permitted to the kohen as well. Therefore, the father doesn't have the ability, and that's why we don't believe the father in the case of nishbeis upidisiha. Aydimur says, but he could marry you off to a mamzer. So that would also accomplish the same thing that should be post lacuna. So why don't we believe him when he says nishbeis upidisiha? So the Gemara says, no, this goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva, what does Rabbi Akiva hold? The Yom Rabbi Akiva holds, which is not the aloch lamaisa, but Rabbi Akiva holds that ein kiddushin tovsin b'chayvi lavin, that if there is an lav to marry such a person, so according to Rabbi Akiva, the kiddushin are in chal. So therefore, if he were to try to marry her to a mamzer, which is a lav, so then the kiddushin wouldn't be chal. And therefore, he couldn't have married her off to a mamzer. And therefore, there is no way that he could be passing her lakuna other than by saying nishbeis upidisiha. And therefore, we don't believe him. It's not biyado to go and have her in captivity. There is no equivalent to be posel lakuna, according to Rabbi Akiva, who says that en kiddushin tovsim chayvi lavin. Now, we paskin that kiddushin are tovsim chayvi lavin, so that's why this is only in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. The Chacham disagree with Rabbi Akiva and say that you only have a mamzer from a chayve karetz or a chayves misis basin. Only those are going to be kedushin not tosin, and therefore, whenever you have the kedushin not tosin, that's when you create a mamzer. But if kedushin are tosin, so the chacham hold the kedushin are tosin b'chayve lavim, so therefore that would not create a mamzer according to the chachamim, and that's why this has to be only in accord with Rabbi Akiva, who says ain kedushin tosin b'chayve lavim. Mor says, still, Rabbi Yado Lasia Almano Lekoin Gado. But even according to Rabbi Akiva agrees that the Kiddushin Archal, if you marry off your daughter who's an Almana to a Kohen Gado. And this is the exception to the rule, as we'll see in a second. So even therefore, Rabbi Akiva has an opinion where you could have the Kiddushin Tosin, Bechayvi Lavin. Therefore, she would be Psula Lekohuna, because she is, in this situation, now, if you marry an almana, it marries a kohen gadol, then the kohen gadol dies. So this almana, now from the issa relationship with the kohen gadol, is psula lakuna. And where do we have this opinion? The Rabbi Akiva says that the almana marrying a kohen gadol, the kedushin archal, that goes in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Simoy. This is a machlos between Rabbi Simoy and Rabbi Yeshevav in terms of what is Rabbi Akiva's shita. So Rabbi Simoy holds, Uchi Rabbi Simoy, the Tanya, we learn the following Brisa, Rabbi Simoy Omer, Minakol also Rabbi Akiva Mamzer. Rabbi Akiva holds that anytime you have a Chayvi Lavin, so the Kiddushin are in Chal, and therefore the product of such a relationship would be a Mamzer, with the one exception, Chutz Me'am Mona Kohen Gadol, based upon the Pasuk. This is the exception to rule, Shamu Yorban Torah. The Torah says, Lo Yikach, the Kohen Gadol is not allowed to go take an Almona for his wife, the loy chalel, and then it says right afterwards he's also not allowed to go and make chalolim. So therefore, chilulim also when he takes the almana, according to God, he's not allowed to marry a mal, he has to marry besula He marries an almana, so he is mechalal his children. Chilulim osa. However, that is a miut. It tells that only chilulim lo yichalal the ain osa mamzeru. But the almana married to a kohen gadol doesn't create mamzeru. This is Rabbi Simoi's understanding of Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, that is the exception according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Sheva disagrees with that. And therefore, Agamori says, you have to say that our Mishnah is going in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, but not according to Rabbi Simoi, but according to Rabbi Yesheva, who holds the Omar. We have to come and argue on Rabbi Akiva ben Yosef because Shaya Omer Kol She'en Lo Bia B'Yisrael, not that it's a Chayvi Lavin, and therefore the Amon Kohen Gadol could be accepted based on Pesukim. But Rabbi Yesheva's opinion of Rabbi Akiva is that any time you cannot have halachically acceptable Bia, if they were to be married between this man and this woman, so then if they were to have relations and have a child, that Vlad would be a mamzer. Oh, have Vlad mamzer in that situation, so that would include even an amana to a kohen gadol. And therefore, if the Tana of our Mishnah, in fact, holds like Rabbi Yesheva's understanding of Rabbi Akiva, there is no way that the father can go and ever passel his daughter l'kahuna, because there is no marriage that would take effect, because if the bia is forbidden, so then the marriage cannot take effect. And therefore, there is no situation where the father can pass his door lacuna, and therefore when he says Nishbeis upidisiha, he is not believed. Shmuel says, that's great if you understand Rabbi Yesheva the way we just said. Ha nichal Rabbi Yesheva of ila tamei denavshei shapir. So that goes well according to Rabbi Yesheva if you say that anytime there's a relationship, kol she'en lo bia b'Yisrael, so then you're right, there is no way that the father can ever marry you off to somebody that would passel her for marriage to the Kohen once that relationship is over. And therefore, that was great, according to this understanding of Rabbi Yesheva. However, Ella, no, if Rabbi Yesheva is just coming to disagree with Rabbi Simoi on that one point, Almana to the Kohen Gadol, there Rabbi Simoi says that Rabbi Kiva says that that's only going to passel her as a halala, and not going to make her into a mamzeres, and therefore the kedusha would be chal. So therefore, in this situation, if he's coming to just argue with Rabbi Simoi, so then harebi yado lasiyo lechayvi yaseh. So then there are other isurim that the bia is not permissible, but it's only over in aseh. For example, if he were to go and marry it to a mitzri who is dor rishon or dor sheni, so that's an aseh not to do that. Lav habami chal aseh. The pasuk says that you're allowed to marry her to Dor Shlishi, meaning that you can marry her to Dor Rishon or Dor Sheni. So that would be an example. And therefore, according to this, machlok is between Rabbi Simoi and Rabbi Sheva. Therefore, Rabbi Akiva would say that if you married her off to a Mitzri Sheni or a Mitzri Rishon, so she would, in fact, that marriage would be chal, but it would be passeling her likahuna. So here we do have a case. So why don't we say, Nishbeis ubedisio, we believe him? So Gemara says, Omer Ravashi. Ravashi says, "V'tizbru Reisha Mishum Debiyadahu." He now questions the whole understanding that we had of the Mishnah. He says, "Is it really because it was in his power to go marry her off as a ktana, and she's still a ktana? That's why we believe him to say kidashtia or kidashtia v'gerashtia. Is really that the reason? Harehib should be Mishum Debiyadahu. Is that the reason? No. Nihi Debiyadu Lekatsha." How could that possibly be? Because yes, he has the ability to go be Mekadisher, but many of you are probably thinking this, B'yodu Ligarsha, he can't go and be Megarisher. He has to accept the Gerishin, but it's up to her husband to decide to be Megarisher. So it's not in his power to be Megarisher, it's in his power to accept the Gerishin if her husband so chooses. However, it's not within his power to go and be Megarisher's daughter, who he married off. So therefore, furthermore, the Oud, Hilo Marhai, the Lonicha Begavah, no, he wants to marry you off to somebody, but the guy doesn't want to marry her. So therefore, it's not totally within his power to marry you off as well. Yes, he has the rights to marry you off. Yes, he has the rights to go and accept her gerushin, but it's totally on somebody else. Somebody else has to offer her kiddushin, and somebody else has to go and be megarisha once the kiddushin were accepted. So therefore, that can't be the understanding, Ravashi says, of the reisha, because it's not really biyodal. So what is the understanding of the reisha? Elo Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, Reisha Rachmana Himne. The Torah believes the father for Kidashtia V'Girashtia. Why? That goes in accord with what Rav Huna said. Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav. Rav Huna said, Amar Rav. Minayin li'ov shenem unless or is bito min haTorah. How do we know that the father has the right to go and marry off his daughter? And therefore, to say, I married her off to so-and-so. No, so-and-so's not here. We went off to Minas Hayam. And now his daughter is also to marry anybody else because that guy has to give her a divorce if he's not around. This girl is now going to be forbidden for the rest of her life to marry anybody else. How do we know that the father has the power to do that? So Rav Huna, Amar Rav tells us, This is based upon the pasuk shenamar es biti nosati liish hazeh. The Torah says he is permitted to say he gave over his daughter to this man in kiddushin. Lo ish asara, the man giving it over to this man asasu to every single other person in the world, and hazeh to this man is matira hitira to this man. And she's allowed to go and live with this man. So we believe the father. The Torah gave us the ability to believe the father. Now, b'nisuin himnei rachmon aliyav, only in regards to nisuin did the Torah give us the right. Es biti nosati li shazeh. However, b'shvuya, to say that the daughter is captured and that he redeemed her, that the Torah never gave him the power to be believed. B'shvuya lo himnei. And he doesn't have the right to go and hurt her in this respect. He only would have the right, what the Torah gave him, es biti nosati li shazeh. That he has the power to do. And that's the understanding why the Reish of the Mishnah, the father is Naaman, and in the second and third parts of the Mishnah, the father is not given that Naamanus anymore, and therefore he is not believed when his daughter is a Gedola, and he is not believed to say Nishbeis Upidisiyah. Okay, next Mishnah. Mishamar Bishas Misasu, the man says upon his deathbed, and he says, Yeshli Bonim, I have children. So now his wife no longer would have an obligation to undergo Yibam with his brothers. No, nobody knew that he had children beforehand. And now he tells us, so Naaman, he is believed to go and be matir his wife, not to fall into Yibam. However, if Yeshli Achim, he says, I have brothers, and now she does have to fall to Yibam, so Eino Naaman, then he's not believed to say this. So the Gemara says, Alma, what do you see from our Mishnah? Naaman lahatir, the Ein Naaman lesser, that the husband is believed over here to exempt her from undergoing Yibam, but he's not believed to go and now say, I do have a brother, and now you are going to fall to Yibam if he has no children. Now, why is that? So Gemara says, Naaman Mastis is Lokar Binosan. Our Mishnah, therefore, doesn't seem to be in accord with the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. What is that? The Tanya. We learn in the Braisa, Mishas Kiddushin, if at the time that the original Kiddushin is given, Omar, the prospective husband, says to his wife, Yesh lo banim, I already have children from somebody else, and therefore, you have no concerns, you're not going to fall to Yibam. Or, Mishas Misa, and then, at the time of his death, he says, Omar, ain't lo banim. He says, listen, what I told you originally was wrong. I was just trying to get you to marry me and you not have to worry about Yibam concerns. But guess what? I really don't have any children. So that is a retraction of his original statement. So in that scenario, or Bishas Kiddushin, Omar lo, ain't lo achim, or at the time they got married, he said, don't worry, I'm an only son. I don't have any brothers, and therefore you can't fall to Yibam. But then he retracts that at the time of Misa, Bishas Misa, Omar, yesh lo achim. He says, I do have brothers. So in both of these scenarios, he originally told her that you're not going to fall to Yibam, either because he has sons or because he said that he doesn't have any brothers. And then at the time of his death, so he retracts and says, I do not have any sons or I do have brothers. So in this situation, Naaman lahatir ve'ein Naaman la'asar. Divrei Rebbe. So Rebbe, who seems to hold like our Mishnah, so our Mishnah is in accord with this opinion. Rebbe says that the husband is believed to exempt her from Yibam, but the husband isn't believed to now create a situation where previously there was no expectation of Yibam, and now he says that there is a requirement of Yibam. That's the opinion of Rebbe. That seems to be in accord with our Mishnah. But our Mishnah doesn't seem to be in accord with Rebbe Nosson, because Rebbe Nosson Omer, af Naaman la'asar. The husband is not only believed to exempt her from Yibam, but the husband is believed to say, I don't have children. The husband is believed to say that I do have a brother, and therefore now you do fall to Yibam. Sumar says, Lav Dafka. Amar Rava, Shani Hasim. No, this Brisa is different. What's the Brisa talking about? Kivan de Bishas Miso Kohader Bey Emo Kushta Kamar. Here, at the time of his death, the husband is looking forward to meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, I better tell the truth. Until now, I've told a lie. So, on his deathbed, he wants to tell us the truth. So therefore, we assume that what he's saying on his deathbed is true, and what he said previously was a lie. So when he originally said, I have sons, and now he says, no, I don't have sons, we believe him on his deathbed to say he doesn't have sons. And therefore, Rabbi Nosson says, in this situation, we believe him that he can even require his wife now to undergo Yibam with this, since he doesn't have any sons. And his brother will now have to be her Yavam. And likewise, if originally he said, I don't have brothers, but his death, but he said, listen, honey, I'm sorry, I lied to you. I wanted to marry you, but I do have a brother. So we believe him because we assume Ema Kushta Kamar on his deathbed. So that's why the Brisa is Rabbi Nosson's opinion. But Lav Dafka in the Mishnah, in our Mishnah, where he didn't have this deathbed declaration, so we do believe him. So the Gemara says, Amalei Abaye, Abaye says to Rava, but Lav Koldekin, who knows, should be the exact opposite. Why is that? Hashta Uma Hasam Dekomera Leila Dibure. Amris Kushto Kamar. If in this situation where he's retracting his original opinion, we say, oh, his deathbed confession, that must be true. But he's retracting an original statement that he made otherwise, and yet you're saying, Rabbi Nosson, that we should believe him. So in our Mishnah, the Lo Kamei Relei Dibure, he never went and retracted his statement. He just said this, I have a brother, or I don't have a brother. I have sons. I don't have sons. So if you're telling me we believe him when he's retracting his original statement, lo kol shekein, should we believe him? When he's not retracting his statement, he's now telling us, I have a brother, so therefore you fall to Yibam. So why would Rabbi Nassin say in our Mishnah differently than he says in the Braisa? So that can't be a good teretz rabba. So therefore, Abaye says, Elo Abaye, Abaye says, this is the good teretz over here. Mas nisin de lo muchzak lon bi'ache. In our Mishnah, there was no chazaka that he had brothers. He was known to be an only son. Or v'lo mochzach lon bivnei. Or there was no knowledge of him having children. The Amrinon, and therefore we say kiven v'lo mochzach lon bivnei v'lo biachei. Our Mishnah is talking about where we have no chazaka that he has sons and no chazaka that he has brothers. So therefore, the default position is that she won't fall to Yibam because there is no brother. Amar yesh li banim. Therefore, when he now says I have children, all he's doing is continuing the chazaka that she doesn't fall to Yibam, and therefore he's Neman, because nothing has changed by his saying that I have sons. Okay, she doesn't fall to Yibam, but guess what? There was a chazaka that she didn't have, that he didn't have a brother anyway, so she wasn't falling to Yibam. But when he now changes the chazaka and says Yeshli Achim, previously we had a chazaka that he didn't have brothers, and now he says I do have brothers. Ain't no Neman. He isn't believed because he's changing the expected situation. He's changing the chazaka that we have, and lav kol kamine the osel lo akuliyama, and he doesn't have the ability to now go. We have no independent evidence that this is his brother. So therefore, in this situation, lav kol kamine, it's not in his power, the osel lo akuliyama, to go make her osel to all the men in the world until she either has yibum or chalitza from this so-called brother. And therefore, Abaye says, that's the way you understand the Mishnah. And the Braisa, what is that talking about? And we turn to some of the Muchzak Lon Ba'achi, the Braisa talking about where we had a Chazaka that he had brothers. However, V'lo Muchzlon Bibni, but he didn't have a Chazaka that he had children. So therefore, she would, the Chazaka would be that she does fall to Yibam. The Amrinan, and we say, Ma'ali L'Shaker. In this situation, why would the guy lie and say that he has sons if he doesn't really have sons? Because if he wanted to exempt his wife from Yibam, there was an easy way to do so. My Kamar, all he had to do was say, Lemifterim Yibam, Matzi Omar, Patrano Loch Begita. He could say, I'll give you a get that will take effect before I die, and therefore you won't have to undergo Yibam. So if his goal is just to make her not undergo Yibam, so there's another way he could do so. So therefore, believe him when he says he has sons. Because if he wished to, he could do the exemption from Yibam by giving her a get that will take effect before he dies. So since he has an other effective way to go and free his wife from Yibam, so Mali Lishaka, why would he lie and say he has sons if he doesn't really have sons? So therefore, that's why we believe him in the Mishnah when he says he has sons. But that's an emanus to exempt her from Yibam, which he has the ability to do so. But we don't believe him in the situation where he doesn't have the ability to make her undergo Yibam and change the chazaka around, and therefore he's not believed to say that I have a brother. That's the opinion of Rebbe. And Rebbe Savar, Mali L'Shaker, Ki Edom Dami. The machlokes in Rebbe and Rav Nosson is based upon the following. Rebbe says, this idea of Mali L'Shaker is if the Edom came along and testified that he has children. That's how strong this is. And therefore, the Asu Edom, Akri Chazaka, and therefore the Edom can come along and uproot the original Chazaka, that she in fact would fall to Yibam. That's the opinion of Rebbe. And that's why we believe him in the situation for the children, but we don't believe in the situation to make her undergo Yibam. However, Rabbi Nosson Savar, Mali L'Shaker, Ki Chazaka Dami. No, Mali L'Shaker is not like Edim, it's a Chazaka. So what it did was, Lo Asi Chazaka, V'yokur Chazaka L'Gamre. So this new Chazaka that we have can't go and uproot the old Chazaka that we have, and therefore there is less strength over here to this Mali L'Shaker, according to Rabbi Nosson, than according to the opinion of Rabbi. And therefore, when the husband goes and changes around and says, no, I do have in fact a brother, so now we reestablish, so to say, the original chazaka, and therefore the husband is believed to go and require his wife to have Yibam because that, so to say, reestablishes the original chazaka, as opposed to Rabbi, who says, no, the Edom came along and broke that chazaka, and therefore, no matter what happens, that chazaka cannot be reestablished. Okay, so that's the understanding of the Braisa, the Machlokes in Rebbe and Rebbe Nosson. Next Mishnah, Hamakadesh es bito stam. If a man gives over his daughter, we had this Mishnah previously, a little bit of chazar over here. A man gives over his daughter for kiddushin, but he doesn't specify which daughter he gave over to kiddushin. Somebody came to him and said, listen, I'd like to marry your daughter. And he said, great. And he doesn't specify which one of his daughters is included in this kiddushin. So, ein habogros b'chlal. So the Mishnah tells us, any of his daughters who are gedolos, they're above the age of 12 and a half, they're not able to be married off by him, he can marry off his ketana, he can marry off his nara daughter up till the age of 12 and a half. But if they're both gross, if they're above the age of 12 and a half, he doesn't have the power, minatora, to go and marry them off. So then, obviously, they're not included in this din, hamakadish is bito stam, because he doesn't have the power to go and marry them off. So the other daughters they would need to get from this guy if they want to go get married to anybody else. But the older daughters above the age of 12 and a half, the bogros, they wouldn't need to get. That's the first part of the Mishnah. Then it says, Mishiesh lo shnei kitei banos mishtei noshim. Rashi explains that let's say he had wife number one who gave him daughter number one and daughter number two. Then wife number one dies and he marries wife number two. And this way it's nice and simple. The wife number two gives him daughter number three and daughter number four. All in all, he has four daughters. Let's say they're in age order. Daughter one is the oldest. Daughter two is the second oldest. Daughter three is the third oldest. Albeit she's the bechora from the second wife. And daughter number four is the youngest of all of the children. So we have four daughters over here in age order, one, two, three, and four. So he has two sets of daughters from two wives, the Omar. And he says, Kidashti is bita gdola. Somehow, he says, I married off the daughter that is called the gdola. Then you're there, im gdola shebigdolos. I don't know if I meant daughter number one, the oldest of the oldest wife. So I don't know if I meant that one, daughter number one, or gdola shebigdolos, or I meant daughter number three. She's the gdola of the second set of children. Or did I mean oktana shebigdolos, or I mean daughter number two, who is the ketana of the older wife. However, she's still, she gdola, min gdola shebigdolos. She's still older than daughters number three and number four. So it's possible, according to the Tanakhama, that it could mean that he married off daughter number one, daughter number two, or daughter number three. The only one that we can guarantee wouldn't be called the Gdola is daughter number four. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, which is Rav Meir, Kulon Asuros, all three of those daughters, one, two, and three, would require a get from this guy. None of them can marry him because he might be marrying the man might be marrying his wife's sister. So therefore, all of these situations, all of them would have to get a get from him, Kulan Asuras, with the exception of Chutz Menaktanish without daughter number four. She is definitely not included in the words Gedola. There's no way she could be described as a Gedola, Divri Rav Meir. In other words, Rav Meir seems to be saying that a man would put himself into a suffix situation. Rav Yossi Omer, no. When a man says Gedola, so Mustami doesn't want to have this suffix situation. Man doesn't want to put himself into a suffix situation. And therefore, when he said Gedola, I married off to Gedola, Mustami meant daughter number one. She is the only one that can be absolutely termed Gedola. Daughter number two is Gedola compared to three and four, but it's not a Gedola compared to number one. And daughter number three may be a Gedola compared to number four, but it's certainly not a Gedola compared to number one. So therefore, Rav Yossi says the person doesn't put himself into a suffix situation in the stomach. He only meant daughter number one, and therefore daughter number one is the one that is married to this man. Next, Kidashti is biti aktana. If a man says, I gave my youngest daughter in Kiddushin, this is the opposite case of what we just said. So, v'eni yodeh im ktana shebiktanos, I don't know if it's daughter number four, the youngest of the four, or ketana shebiktanos, or daughter number two, who's the youngest of the first two, or gedola shebiktanos, or did I mean daughter number three, who is considered the gedola of the ktanos, but still, nevertheless, she ketana, I mean ktana shebiktanos, but she's still younger than daughters number one and two. So in this situation, same achloks in Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, Kulan Asuros, according to Rav Meir, Chutz Min HaGdolos Shebigdolos, the only one that definitely isn't called the Ktana is the Gdolos Shebigdolos. So therefore, in this situation, daughters number one is not married, but daughters number two, three, and four would be a concern that they're married and they would require a get. Divri Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. And again, Rav Yossi disagrees, says the person doesn't want to put himself into a machlokes, and therefore when he says ketanos, he means only number four. Kula mutaros, one, two, and three are permissible, they can marry anybody that they want. Chutz min haketanos shebiktanos, daughter number four, she's the one that's married to this guy and would need to get from this guy if she wanted to marry somebody else. Now the Gemara starts off and says, haketanos bichlal. It seems to imply that all of the ketanos are in fact included in the original first part of the Mishnah, when it says that the bogros, they're not included. But any ketanos that he has, they would all be included. Shamas minah, even though this kedushin is kedushin she'ein misurin lebiya, let us bring a raya from here that have a kedushin. Let's say there were two daughters that were ketanos, and one daughter that was a bogeris. So the bogeris, she's certainly not included. But daughters number two and number three that are ketanos, so both of them were included. But he would never be able to have biya with either of them, because he might be having relations with his wife's sister. We don't know which one is his wife. Yet we say that we require a get, so we see. Let's bring a raya to the machlokas that we had previously between Rav and Abaye. This is one of the Yaal Kagams that we had previously, but let us bring a raya. Kedushin she'ein misurin lebiya, even though there's no capability of having a bia over here, have a kedushin. This would in fact be a valid kedushin for the fact that both of them need a get. So one says, no, can't bring a raya from here, because halacha ma'aseinan, you know what our Mishnah is talking about? Kisha'ein Sham Elo Gedolo Ktana. Because our Mishnah is dealing with only one older girl and one younger girl. And therefore, you can't learn out from here that it's Kedushas Eimus Ruah Lebiah, because it's only one daughter. So therefore, the older daughter, the Bogeres, she is in fact not included, and the only daughter that is included is the younger daughter, and therefore, no Raya. Gemara questions this and says, wait a second, it says the word Bogros. V'ha Bogros K'tani. Again, we had all of this previously, this is all a Chazorah from Daf Nun Aleph, the famous Machlokas of Bayin Rava. In any event, the Gemara asks again, V'ha Bogros K'tani. It says over here, the word Bogros, implying that there's more than one daughter. If there's more than one older daughter, it seems to imply that there's more than one younger daughter as well. So the Gemara says, no, my Bogros, when it uses the Lashon of Bogros, Bogros the Alma. It means the general idea of when this happens, so the older girls, meaning in this case, the one older girl, is not going to be included, and therefore the one younger girl. But he used the plural Lashon of Bogros to imply all the girls that this happens to, so the older daughter is not included, the younger daughter is, therefore it's no Raya to the din that Kedushin, She'ein Masur and Lebiah, have a Kedushin. Okay. Mark continues, says, Pshita, so then, if it's only one older daughter and one younger daughter, so then what's the Chiddush over here? Of course it doesn't apply to the older daughter, and therefore, of course, the younger daughter is Mekudeshes. So, Bogros, Maya Vedetayu. So why did it have to even bother mentioning over here that there's an older daughter? So Gemara says, no, there's still a Chiddush over here. You know what? Hachem Ayaskinon, the Shavase Shaliach, that she, in fact, made her father into a Shaliach for her. And you're going to tell me, Ma'u Detema, Mi Mekabo Kedushi Adaito Dida Ka Mekabo. The father is actually accepting Kedushin on behalf of the older daughter. So, Kamash Malan, no, that's not the case. Lo Shavik Inish Mide de Isle Hana Mine, V'Ovid Mide de Lesle Hana Mine. Nobody would go and take something for which he gets an off from because he gets the Kedushin from the younger daughter. He gets to keep that money, but he doesn't get to keep the money of Kedushin for the older daughter. So, therefore, nobody would go and give up this money that he would get for being Makadish the younger daughter and instead being Makadish the older daughter instead. Previously, we'd also said that would anybody be so chutzpahdik as to make the father a shaliach for them? And the answer is yes. In certain situations, the father knew that the daughter wanted to marry this person, so the father would be a shaliach for the daughter. Gemara still continues and asks, Milo Askin and the Amrele, are we dealing over here with the daughter telling to the father that kiddushai l'cha, that I'm also giving you the kiddushin money? You're doing me a favor of going and accept the kiddushin on my behalf, so you keep the kiddushin money. So Gemara says, no, even in this situation, whether you can argue that the father is not having a financial loss by accepting Kedusha on behalf of the older daughter, because he gets the Kedusha for the older daughter as well as the Kedusha for the younger daughter, so therefore it's not a financial decision that we'd be making over here. Nevertheless, Lo Shavik Inish Mitzvah de Rami Alei, the Ovid Mitzvah de Lo Rami Alei, he has an obligation to go marry off his younger daughter, whereas he doesn't have an obligation. It's a very nice thing too, but he doesn't have an obligation to marry off his older daughter, so therefore, if given the choice between fulfilling an obligation of marrying off the younger daughter versus just doing a very nice thing to marry off the older daughter, so he wouldn't give up the mitzvah of marrying off the younger daughter to go and instead marry off the older daughter. Therefore, that's the Chiddush, that even though you might have had a Havimina to say that it could be the older daughter, so Kamash Olan, it's only the younger daughter. Avi Lohachi, Lo Shavik Inish Mitzvah, the Rami Alei, the Avi Mitzvah, the Lo Rami Alei. Okay, Mark continues and quotes the Mishnah, says, Mishi Eshlo Shtei Kite Banos, if the man has the older daughters and the younger daughters, first wife had two older daughters, daughters one and two, and then he had a second wife, and they then had daughters three and four, so that's the age order, daughter number one is the oldest, daughter two is the next oldest, daughter number three is the third oldest, and daughter number four is the fourth oldest. And we gave the example in both situations that if he said Gedola, so it meant, according to Rav Meir, one, two, and three, but not four. But according to Rav Yossi, it meant only one, and vice versa. If he said Ketana, according to Rav Meir, it meant possibly two, three, or four, but not number one. And Rav Yossi said, in this situation, it only means daughter number four, and not one, two, and three. Now, why do we need to have this machlokas in both scenarios, the Gdola and the Ketana? Utsrich, the Gemara says you need both. Why is that? Because the Ashmin and Kamais, if you only had the first case, which is talking about the Gdola, and Rav Meir would say in that situation that it means one, two, and three, but not four, Bahach, Kama Rav Meir. Only in that situation, the Rav Meir say it would mean the three older daughters, the Kivan, the Ika, Zutra, Mina, because there's one clearly that is not Gdola. And therefore, he could have meant one, he could have meant three, because they're the oldest in their respective groups, but he even could have meant two, because it's older, two is older than three and four. So therefore, by Gedola, which is a compliment, which is a good thing, so he could have meant either daughters one, two, or three, but not daughter four. And therefore, Lahach, Gedola, Karila, because it's a compliment to be the Gedola, so therefore it could have meant one, two, or three. Aval Baha, but in calling somebody the Ketana, that's not a compliment, so therefore one might have thought, in that situation, obviously, even Rav Meir means daughter number four only, and not two, three, and four. So Ema Modi Leila Rav Yossi, in that situation, you might have thought that Rav Meir is Modi to Rav Yossi. And in this situation, Ema Modi Leila Rav Yossi, he's Modi to Rav Yossi, that when you say the Ketana, it means Lahach Ketana de Kulu, it means only number four would be called Ketana. It's not a compliment to call number three or number two Ketana.
So therefore, you might have thought that if we just had the case of the Gedola, that the Machlokas would not apply by the case of the Ketana. So Kamashulan, by telling us the case of the Ketana, telling us that Rav Meir argues with Yossi even in that case as well. No, so just tell me the Ketana case. If you only told me the Ketana case, you know what we said? The exact opposite. Baha, Kamar Rav Yossi, only here, where it's not a compliment, so therefore everybody would agree that it's the fourth and only the fourth daughter, Rav Yossi would say. However, Avo Bahach, but in the take of the Gedola, where it's a compliment to be called the Gedola, so maybe he meant 1, 2, and 3, and maybe Rav Yossi is Moda to Rabbi Meir. Ema Moda le Rav Meir. And therefore, Tzricha, you need both cases of the Gedola and the Ketana to accentuate the Shitas of each of them respectively in both scenarios. Nadigmar says, Lememra, what do you see from our Mishnah, the Rabbi Meir Sabar, Mochis Inish Nafshe Lisveka? We, as we have explained, Rav Meir is not afraid to say that the person puts himself in a suffix situation. By saying Gedola, it could mean 1, 2, and 3. It doesn't mean 1. And when he says Ketani, it means 2, 3, and 4. He doesn't mean only 4. So a person, according to Rav Meir, is not afraid to put himself into a suffix situation. Whereas Rav Yossi, Sovar Lo Mochis Inish Lisveka. Rav Yossi said, no, a person doesn't want to put himself into a suffix situation. When he says Gedola, he therefore only means 1, not 2 and 3. When he says Ketana, he only means 4, not 2 and 3. So therefore, that is the status of Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Does a person or does a person not put himself into a suffix situation? Rav Meir says yes, and Rav Yossi says no. But if that's true, for Ifcho Shaminalu, we learned exactly the opposite Shitos elsewhere. The Rav Meir is the one that says you don't put yourself into a suffix situation, and Rav Yossi is the one that says you do put yourself into a suffix situation. Where is that? It's not, because we learned in a mission in the Dor. If a person says, Hanoder Ada Pesach, if a person makes a neder that he would not do certain thing until Pesach. Let's say he won't get Hanoah from another person. So he says that until Ad HaPesach. So until when is that neder in effect? So everybody agrees, Asur Ad Shiagia. In that situation, until Pesach comes, the person is ought to get Hanoah from the other guy. So if Reuven says, I asked myself to get Hanoah from Shimon, Ad HaPesach, so he can't get Hanoah from Shimon up until Pesach. But once Pesach comes, he's able to get Hanoah from him again. If he says, Ad Shiehei Pesach, until it is Pesach, so then, as long as it's still Pesach, it's also for him to get Hanoah. So up until the very end, also Ad Sheyetze, he would be forbidden to get Hanoah from Shimon up until the very end of Pesach. Only when Pesach is over does this neder now stop, because until now it's Yehei Pesach, it's still Pesach. But what happens if he uses the Lashon of Ad Pinei Pesach? Pinei could mean a number of different things. It means the face of Pesach, literally, until the beginning of Pesach, or does it mean until the end of Pesach? So Rav Meir Omer, Asur Ad Shiyagia, it means until Pesach comes. Whereas Rav Yossi Omer, Ad Shiyetze, it means until Pesach is gone. So therefore, they're arguing about Pnei Pesach. Rav Meir seems to say a person doesn't want to put himself into a suffix situation, and therefore Pnei Pesach means only until Pesach, but not on Pesach itself. Whereas Rav Yossi says, a person's willing to put himself into a suffix situation, we're not sure what he means, and therefore it has to be until the end of Pesach. So this is Pum Fakert, what we said in our Mishnah. So Amar Rabbi Chanina bar Avdimi, Amar Rav. So Rabbi Chanina, who's the son of Avdimi, said the name of Rav, Muchlevas Hashita. You're right. You have to switch around the Shitos in Nedarim. We have to say that it was Rav Meir that said that the din is, the person is also Achiyetze until Pesach is over, because he's Choshesh for putting himself into a suffix, and therefore it was Rav Meir who said Achiyetze, and in fact it was Rav Yossi who had said only Achiyagia. So that's simple tarots. We flip around the Shitas in the Dharm, and therefore we align Rav Meir with Rav Meir over here, and we align Rav Yossi with Rav Yossi over here. Very good. And I'll show you that this is right, because what Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Zaklal, this is the rule. Kol shezmano kovua, if something has a set time to it. Such as a Yontif. Yontif comes out. Pesach comes out on Tes Vav Nisan. So, kol shezmano kovua. And if a person says the Omer Ad Pinei, and he uses his Lashon Ad Pinei, oh, here the Braisa says, exactly like we did the Muchlef Zashita. Rav Meir Omer Achiyetzin, Rav Yossi Omer Achiyagia. Oh, so we have a Raya that we should be Muchlef Zashita, because the Braisa shows you that that, in fact, is the right opinion of Rav Meir and Rav Yossi, and therefore we reconcile it with our Mishnah. Rav Meir is always the one that is Choshesh, that a person puts himself into a suffix situation, whereas Rav Yossi says the person doesn't put himself into a suffix situation, and everything is nice and good. However, Abaye now qualifies this, and he says, Amar Abaye, machlokes bishtei kitei banos. This is only a machlokes to remain, Rav Yossi, if there are two wives with two sets of daughters. Like we said, daughters 1 and 2 from the first wife, and then daughters 3 and 4, the younger daughters from wife number 2. Only there is there a machlokes to Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Avu b'kas achas, if the person only had one wife, and you're dealing over here with several daughters, so divriya kol, everybody would agree in that situation that even Rav Meir would say Gedola means the oldest one, Gedola mamish, and Ketana would mean Ketana mamish, only the youngest one. there would be no machlokas over here between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi. Because, and Tzayis, if there was a middle daughter, he wouldn't have called the Gedola or Ketana Bishma Karila. He would have called her by her name, because she's not clearly the Gedola, and she's not clearly the Ketana. Albeit, yes, she's Gedola compared to daughter number three, and she's Ketana compared to daughter number one, but he wouldn't refer to her as either Gedola or Ketana. If there's only one wife with one three daughters, he would refer to the oldest as the oldest, the youngest as the youngest, and the middle one, he would refer to her by her name, Bishma Karila. So that's what Abaye wants to make a qualification over here and say that the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi is only if there's two sets of wives with two sets of daughters. More questions this. Amalei Rav Adda bar Masa li Abaye. Rav Adda bar Masa says to Abaye, really? Elamayata, based upon what you're saying, that if there's a middle daughter, the father would refer to the middle daughter by your name and not as the younger or the older daughter. So then, how do you learn our Mishnah? We turn to Samachay Omer Aleph. And Soyez Shebekas Shnia Tishteri. I only had daughters 1, 2, and 3, and 4. What is now being asked is what happens if there was daughters 1, 2, and 3 from the first wife and daughters 4, 5, and 6 from the second wife in that order of age born. So 1, 2, and 3 are the first three born to the first wife, and then 4, 5, and 6 are the next three daughters born to the second wife. 4, 5, and 6 are all younger than 1, 2, and 3. Now, in this situation, and Soyez Shebekashnia, daughter number 5, Tishri, should be permitted as well. Because if what you're saying is true, that you wouldn't call the middle daughter younger or older, you'd call her by name. So in this situation, why would you say that only the youngest daughter, according to Rav Meir, daughter number 6, would be Muteres, because she's not included as Gedola? No, even daughter number 5 wouldn't be referred to as Gedola, she would be referred to by name. So therefore, it should have said that the younger daughters, numbers 5 and 6, would be Muteres. So where it says, you know, we're talking about Hochabaya Skin and Bishayim Shom El Gedola Ketana. No, we're only talking about there were two daughters to each set. You're right. If there were three daughters, then you would be right. But there are only two daughters, 1 and 2, to wife number 1. And then when wife number 1 died, and he took wife number 2. So then there are two new daughters, 3 and 4. But there is no 5 and 6. So you're only dealing with daughters 1 and 2 from the first wife and daughters 3 and 4 from the second wife. And the word says, Lachanayim Yitztabra. This makes good sense. And therefore, there's no kasha on a bias statement. Because the Misa, the Ika, because if there really was a daughter number 1, 2, and 3 from the first wife and 4, 5, and 6 from the second wife, Lisnaye, you should have said so, because that would have been a big chiddush over here. So therefore, from the fact that it doesn't mention it, it must be talking about only daughters 1 and 2 and daughters 3 and 4, and not 1, 2, and 3 and 4, 5, and 6. Mora says, wait a second, that's not right. Ul Taimech, if that were true, so then Emsoyez Shebekas Rishona, then it should have mentioned daughter number 2 in the first group as well. The Vadei Sveika, if she existed, if there was such a daughter, she would definitely be considered possibly the Gedola. She's Gedola than everybody else, but daughter number 1. So she would definitely be included in the Isser over here that she can't get married until she gets a divorce. So the Vadei Sveika, she would definitely be a Sofek over here, Basir Ulei, and she should be prohibited to marry everybody else as well. But it doesn't mention her. Mik Tani Lo doesn't mention her by name. So therefore, why, if you're correct, did we not mention the group in the second daughters that there was a middle daughter? So too, it should have mentioned in the first group that there was a middle daughter as well. Someone says, no, Hachi Ashta, that's not the same. Abaye would argue, Hasam, in the case of the first group of daughters, Tanak Tana Dida Lisura. So you needed to mention over there that daughter number 3, the youngest of the three daughters, would be also awesome because she's still a Gedola compared to 4, 5, and 6. And therefore, v'adin lahach dekashisha mina, and the same thing would apply to any daughter that is also older than she is. So therefore, if it applies to the youngest one, let's say there's only two daughters, it would apply to number 2. So if there are three daughters, it would apply to number 2 and 3. If there were four daughters, it would apply to number 2, 3, and 4, because they're all older than the whole second set of younger daughters. But hacha, in the case of it, with the second group of daughters, in Esau the Ika, if there was a daughter there, it should have mentioned it. In Esau the Ika Nisnaye, it should have mentioned it, because that would have been a big chiddush to tell us that it does or doesn't apply to daughter number 5. So for the fact that it doesn't mention that, there clearly is no daughter number 5 in the second group, and there may or may not be daughters 1, 2, and 3, 4, 5, and 6 in the first group. That's not important. The chiddush is over here that there's only one daughter in the second group that could be considered the Gedola. That's daughter number 3. There is no daughter in the middle, in the second group. There's only an older daughter and a younger daughter. That's the way our Mishnah is learned. And therefore, Abaye's din is not shlugged up. Abaye's din is correct. Let's just go to the Mishnah. The Gemara continues and says, Amalei Rav Huna, Berei de Rav Yeshua Rava. Rav Huna was the son of Rav Yeshua, said to Rava, Ha Pesach, Dechi Chas Achaz Domi, Yupligi. But wait a second. If you are by saying that when there's one wife with one set of daughters, there is a machlokas, everybody agrees older means the older and the youngest means the younger one, and any middle ones are not included. So then when you say Pesach over here, Ad Pnei Pesach, so that's also like one group of daughters. There's only one Pesach over here. And yet, Uplige, but we do have the Machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yossi over here. So Rava says no. Amale, Rava says to Rav Huna, pray the Rav Yeshua. Hasam belishna the Almo kumifligi. There, they're arguing about what does the terminology Ad Pnei HaPesach mean. They're not arguing about does he refer to a middle daughter, a younger daughter, as the older daughter sometimes. No. Mar Sovar, we have Ad Pnei HaPesach, Ad Kamei Pitzcha. That would be Rav Yossi who says it means up until Pesach, but not including Pesach. Umar Sovar, Rav Meir holds, according to the Mukhlevas Ashita, according to the Braisa, Ad the Mifnei Pesach, means on Pesach is over. So Pnei could mean before, until you see the face of Pesach, until Pesach comes, but then once Pesach is here, it doesn't apply. Or it could mean Ad Mifnei Pesach, until Pesach is gone. So therefore, it could mean in all of Pesach. So there, they're arguing just about what the definition of Pnei Pesach means. It has nothing to do with one kat or two kat, so therefore there is no stira between all of these machlokas. And bottom line is, Rav Meir is always the one that's choshesh that a person would put himself into a suffix situation. Rav Yossi is not, and we've explained each of the scenarios, whether it's two sets of wives, one set of wives, or whether you're dealing with Pesach, in accordance with this idea. With this, we conclude today's shir.